This is Wednesday evening, 6/8/22. We're going to look at the three dimensions, but as I was sitting in my office right before I came up here, the Lord quickened to me Brother Charles Capps and the vision he had about the end of days and how the way he explains it is like an upside down triangle. Yeah. And it's like this. It's like, from how he described it, is the righteous are getting more committed, and those who are not are getting less so. It's like it's a fine line now. It's like a tightrope. I was talking to someone this week about that very thing. They were talking about how the Lord wouldn't let them get away from. It was just in their face all the time about what he wanted them to do, and there was no getting away from it, no matter where you went or what you did. And I just told them, I said, well, that's the walk of the Spirit, you know, and what God has for us and how defined that walk becomes, that you get to where you don't understand. I can't do that. It's not, well, I don't really want to or whatever. That's what I believe Brother Capps was talking about. At the time of the end, that's the way it was going to be. That you would be walking like this, a tightrope. You could no more step out of it if you wanted to or not, because of the lateness of the hour, because of the repercussions of doing so. I think that's where we're at. Now, of course, he put all that in light of the rapture theory, which we all know what I've taught about that. And then the Lord quickened to me something in chapter 12 of Luke, where it talks about those who... when it came time for the Lord to give an account, those who knew were beaten with many blows, and then those who did not know would receive fewer blows. So it made me kind of think, maybe it's not as black and white and cut and dried as we have thought, that there are those that just didn't know and maybe won't be held as accountable as those who do know and didn't. You know, we're where we are in our walk. Everybody's in different stages of their walk. And God expects us to walk in the light we know, but he's not expecting us to walk in the light we don't know, or we don't know yet, things we don't know yet. Okay. I hope that made sense. There are only three dimensions according to God's word. No matter what you hear. Oh, Lord. When I began to do my deep dive into things, one of the things the Lord spoke to me was that these beings that they think are off-world ETs are actual interdimensionals. That was the exact word. And I've heard that term said over and over and over again from people that believe in ETs and all this garbage. They say, yes, they're interdimensionals. Well, I don't believe that they're interdimensionals from other worlds. Because we know NASA is a hoax. NASA means, in Hebrew, NASA means deception. We know that the moon landings were done in a studio. I think some of them say out in Arizona is where they did the moon thing. So we know that all they've done is deceive us concerning these things, because if they were real, why not bring it out into the open? Why not, you know, at first contact, which we know Aleister Crowley, he was the first contact of these so-called off-world beings, these ETs and all this stuff. And he was a Satan worshiper, and he had dreams or visions of this ET. So what does that tell you? Where the origin of this comes from? Now, this week, you know, this was the last thing that I, you know, probably would have taught, but this is what the Lord brought to me, and so we're going to go with what He wanted me to bring. All right. What we're all witnessing is really a world of virtual reality. I remember back in the 90s, the Lord said to me there would be such a, it will become so big that people would live in a virtual world over normal day life. In fact, a few years ago, this has been 7 or 8 years ago, somebody that I was friends with had a friend that she actually lived in a virtual world. She wouldn't go anywhere, wouldn't do anything, because she had her avatar, and she was this beautiful creature in this virtual world that she was in. It's like maybe you can't stand where you are, so you go into this virtual world. Well, see, this is the psyop Satan has played on us. I believe it. It's like a virtual reality. It's his propaganda. It's his projection. One big movie that everybody has sat and watched and gotten brainwashed from it. I mean, just think about the sci-fi world. Where did all this stuff come from? It came from the sci-fi world. It's not real. Never has been. The earth is still and at rest. There's a dome, and there's only one that's coming through that dome. Nobody else can get out. No matter what, as noble as they may seem, as much as they seem to love God, but they get off on all this mess out there and all these planets and all these races and all this. As far as I'm concerned, they have bought into the virtual world. Some of them say, oh yeah, I've actually been on a spaceship and I've actually gone through these dimensions. I bet you have. That's what the devil does. All right. He is making people believe all this extra stuff. Now, we talked about the ETs, the terrestrial and the celestial. You know, just a little extra. That little extra, what is that little extra? That little extra is what hath God said? You know, what God said and what was added to what God said. You know that extra that God did not say? There it is. It amazes me that men choose to believe the lie when the truth is much simpler and easier to believe. Doesn't it, going through the Flat Earth study gave me peace? Because what the devil projects is so outlandish that no one could even prove it. Just like you can't prove the thing they put in your arm. You can't, the fact there's not even such thing as a virus. See, that's what the devil does. That the earth is spinning in all these millions of miles an hour, and you're thinking, how are we even holding on to the earth if we're spinning like that and we're going through all this? It's so outlandish and so way out there. Why would men want to believe something so outlandish that's unbelievable and unprovable in any respect, like the Big Bang Theory? Yeah, just one day this big thing happened, and all of a sudden from the goo to the zoo to you. And people believe it. I'm thinking, they won't believe God's word. They won't believe the simplicity of God's word and how He laid it down and how simple it really is. And how peaceful it is to know the truth when all this crud comes flying through the airways, and everywhere you turn, it's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting to where, as Christians, you talk about thinking you didn't used to have much to watch. Well, we had a lot to watch compared to today, or to listen to. There's just not much at all that you can even listen to, even among truthers or who say they are. Even Christians who say they are, but they're off on all of these doctrines of demons, instigated by demons. All right. Regardless, God has given us dominion in three worlds or three dimensions, and these are what they are. Let's look at two scriptures here, Philippians 2. This tells me we're at the time of the end, that it, because just because of the way things are, it tells me we're at the very end. It's nearly like you can't stand it. I can imagine what Noah must have gone through, and I'm sure it was pretty catastrophic. But think about, that was a small compared to today. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we've been given authority in the name of Jesus in these three dimensions. All right, Colossians is the other one. I'm going to begin with verse 9 there. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, and all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us to the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me see. Okay. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body. The church is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, but in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth and things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been held from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. So what am I saying in all of this? God has a way, and it's a way that He has laid down. And this end time and the way things are, it's grabbing, constantly grabbing, trying to get you off of the straight and narrow and get you into these fallacies. This sci-fi world, this psyop. It's been a big psyop. We've been brainwashed through what we have been programmed through television, through our education. We've had to unlearn all of this stuff. All this satanic illusion is like so many, a reality goggle. Now you can buy the virtual reality things you wear on your, you know, like goggles, and enter into that world. A lot of people are lost in that world. Yeah. They're buying into Satan's illusion. So where is all this coming from? Who is the real deal here? I'm echoing pretty bad. I'm going to give you the conclusion that the Lord gave me concerning this. It all boils down to dominion. We have. Satan does not. We have dominion. God has dominion. He gave us dominion. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. He gave us dominion. Satan tried to exercise dominion. What happened to him? Isaiah says he got kicked out. In other words, he tried to exalt his will. I will ascend into to the Most High. I will be like the Most High God. That is his agenda. That's still his agenda. He hasn't changed his mind, even though he was kicked out of heaven. So that's what it's all about, dominion. We have dominion. He wants our dominion. God said, you can't have it. Kicked him out. So he came to earth. What do we have to do? Kick him out. Same scenario. All right? He is bound and determined to strip man of all his dominion. They hate us. Him and his minions hate us. You wonder why the stuff's happening that's happening today? They take perfectly good food and dump it out in the field so that you couldn't have it. I heard a deal today about cheese. You know, first the peanut butter, now cheese. Then it was chickens and eggs. And then it was baby formula. This is Satan's agenda. He wants us to not have anything. He wants to strip us of everything and anything. This is a real threat, especially for someone that's a nominal Christian that really doesn't know anything. All right, we're going to look at the scriptures I just talked about. Genesis 1. This is a refresher. This is renewing our mind so that whenever these things try to come against us, we can say, oh no, I know what this is. I know what this is. I know what you're doing. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the chicken, over the eggs, over the baby formula, over the cheese, over the peanut butter, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Say they want to give you worms and insects. Some countries are already implementing that in kids' school lunches. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God said we were to take dominion over everything. If it's affecting our life, we need to take dominion over it and say, no, you can't have it. You can't have it. If you want a place to start, we could start with our food supply. Say, no, devil, you're not going to have your way. You're not taking our food source away. God's given us dominion over those food sources, not you. See, that's that mountain saying, we're going to take your food. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? This is where we live. Colossians 2:15. We've got to remind him what he does not have and what he will never have. Never. As long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest continue. All right, 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, the fact is, he triumphed and said, okay, now the victory's handed to you. Enforce it. It's just like I was talking about. We don't need to defend the gospel. It's a sure deal. We don't need to come up beside these people that are out there in left field with all these weird things who used to be Christians, used to believe in their born-again experience, and now they're doubting everything. It's more like you need to get back to your roots the day that you first believed, and you need to get that icky stuff out of your mind. You need to get back to the Word of God that you say is no good anymore. This is our only hope. You know that, right? The Lord's going to bring people across your path that they're going to need to hear it. And don't be nice about it anymore. Quit being so nice. I'm just, if it's going to keep their butts out of hell, then just be as ugly as you need to be. Or shock them. They need some shock and awe. They need somebody to go, bam! Wake up! The devil's serious. He aims to take everybody out. We're just, we don't want to feed anybody. Well, you know what? I'd rather somebody get mad at me because I slapped them with some Aquaviva upside the head or whatever to wake them up. And they got offended. But later, after it's all over, they'd say, thank you for not letting me go to hell. They're everywhere. All right, Isaiah 14. I'm telling you, the devil and his bunch will not stop. Those that are not eternal, they gotta be taken out. They gotta. That's the only way they're gonna stop. They're just like us as far as we can't get off the path we're on. We cannot. We can't. Well, they got the same resolve on the wrong side. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. When he tries to scare you with this kind of stuff, you'll say, well, I can tell you, I'm going to give you some insight into your future. You're fixing to go in the pit. And you ain't coming out for 1,000 years. All right, Revelation. Seven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. This is the way it has to be here. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell on them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So he was cast out. And now we have to deal with him. But Jesus has given us all things that we need. Right here, 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the war we're in. Here's the real deal. No aliens, no galaxies far, far away. Like all the sci-fi movies have proclaimed, just a renegade angel that has lost his place and is mad at God and his children. He'll make you believe anything. He himself appears as an angel of light. Oh, you know, but, the Palladians, they're hovering in their big ships up there. You know, they've got med beds and they're going to beam us all up, you know, and they're going to just take care of all our ills. Oh, yeah, I bet you they're going to beam you up. I just bet you they got something for you. Telling you what, don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. All right. So how has this been allowed to advance like it has? Well, first off, we've been asleep. Second, we bought into the false narrative. Those two things. All right, Matthew 13. It's been infiltration from within. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went this way, or his way. For when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the enemy has done this. Infiltration from within. They've been all among us and we didn't even know it. We thought they were our movie stars that we liked, or our sports figures that we idolized, or the politicians that we put such confidence in. They're all tares. All right, let's get back to how I believe the enemy has pulled the wool over our eyes, or over everyone's eyes. The Hadron Collider. AKA CERN is one of them. Let me just give you some of my thoughts here as the Lord was bringing this to me. I believe this is how so many demonics have been allowed into our world. What is on the other side of this portal they have opened? What's on the other side is evil. Well, Satan himself appears as an angel of light. You know the Palladians that are benevolent. They are here to help us. They're ready to take you up into their ship with med beds and heal you. Don't buy into that lie. The earth is still and remains at rest. The dome is in place and nothing is removing that. It's reserved for Jesus alone. He'll roll it back like a scroll. According to Yandex, I did a search, there are 30,000 of these things worldwide. 59 are hadron, in other words, the bigger colliders. CERN has 10,000 scientists in 100 countries participating and funding their satanic agenda. The cost was $4.75 billion, and they're currently in the process building another one. Now get this. The biggest one is located in Waxahachie, Texas. CERN is located 100 meters below the surface in an underground tunnel. I listened to a man that was part of CERN. He was a Christian, and he was coming forth with the real truth. He said their goal is to extract antimatter. He said one drop of antimatter is about all that they can even handle with a collider the size of CERN. But on the other, this antimatter is black matter, and it is evil. When it gets over here, people that are around it, they begin to act evil. I'm thinking, look at the craziness since the Trump's first election in 2016, the riots and the people doing such horrible, heinous things. You're thinking, what's the matter with these people? He said they had some kind of incident where he, as a Christian, didn't think he was going to make it because of that evil that came against him. He said, I used the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus, and I made it through. But for others, it just completely takes them over, and they become something that's pure evil. The Pool and the Portal by Robin Bullock is a book about a dream he had. The Lord quickened it to me, but it's under copyright, strict copyright, so I can't really quote anything he said. But I can tell you what it's about. He says it is based on a dream that he had, but it's fiction and truth. In the book, demons, it starts off with these demons. They're waiting for this portal to open. Then it goes to another scene where a young woman, under the influence of a demon, is addressing all the New World Order leaders. And it comes back to this is the plan that they wanted all along, and how CERN had everything to do with opening these portals where these demonics can come through and do what they want to do. I know when Notre Dame burned, they were going to do their pre-Easter, Easter Eve. They do like 666 children are sacrificed in Notre Dame. It was to open a portal that supposedly was a demon that would inhabit the Antichrist. And the White Hats got wind of what they were going to do and set it on fire or do weapon or whatever, and it ruined what they did. And at the time, I remember them saying it set them back 1,000 years. Yeah. All right. I wish I could have read it to you, because it just, he goes into detail about how heinous it was, these demons, and how they torment humans and those kind of things, people that have gone to hell. It's even with his description, you just thought, this is the most horrible thing I've ever heard. But they were just waiting for that portal to open so they could just infiltrate the earth. See, this is what they've been doing at CERN. I watched a sacrifice. It was real hard to watch. It was dark, and the people were all in robes. But this young woman just laid down, and they just, a dagger through her heart. Right there. She laid her body down, and they killed her right there. They probably ate her too. I think that's what they do. But see, they set all of this up for these to open these portals to cause this stuff to come on the earth. See, this has been going on. This is the real reason for all these things, no matter what they tell you. All right. Now we're going to look at a few scriptures in Revelation. I really never saw it this way before, but first one's Revelation chapter 9. There's several pits opening up in this book. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, nor but only those men which had not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. I wrote corona here because we know it backfired on them. The elites, that backfired on them. The white hats got to the adrenochrome and tainted it. So when they're using their adrenochrome, because of the iron content in the blood, it kills them. They can't have iron because of their ingestion of blood. And they had hairs, the hair of women, and teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. You know, I thought, well, when we look at Revelation, we look at it more like a fairy tale than we do real life things happening. And I said, well, Lord, I had never thought about them opening these pits, these dimensions. See, I believe all these aliens that people see, all this stuff they supposedly see, they're coming through dimensions. And they're called interdimensionals. We have authority in heaven, earth, under the earth. All this stuff is happening. I believe they've got the people that believe in that, they're going to see what they're going to see. If you buy into the illusion, just think what you want. I'm just telling you what the Lord brought to me. All right, Revelation 11:7. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. These are just the scriptures that I found that have the pit in it. Or you could say a portal. Because that's what they call it. And that's what, in this book by Robin Bullock, it was about opening portals. All right, Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. This is the beast. This is chapter 13 of Revelation, where the beast comes up out of the earth, out of the pit. This system, it's gotten really bad since the 1800s. I mean, it's always been bad, but it got really bad during the 1800s, and that's when they first began to discover these ET creatures. So we don't know how long men have been dabbling with this stuff to be able to open these portals and bring these things up from inner dimensions. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, another is yet not yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. This is the beast in the beast system that's infiltrated all seven mountains of culture. Is it any wonder his headquarters, the Vatican, has seven hills? That's to represent everything that influences you and I today, the seven mountain mandate that we would take the gospel throughout. They've infiltrated every mountain with their demonic entities, through their satanic sacrifice, and through the help of CERN and their satanics. I mean, they worship Shiva. In front of CERN is Shiva, that Indian god with all these weird arms and legs everywhere. This doctor over here has one in front of his house. All right. The opening of this portal, like CERN, has allowed the demonics to grow stronger, and they're able to implement the beast system. A CERN, they do demonic sacrifice before the portals can be open. All right. Well, it's about to open again and will be sealed for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 talks about the pit. I'm thinking, wouldn't that be something if that where he's going to be imprisoned will be in CERN? Or something like that? Because of what they used it for? See, we all think, well, God's just going to do this big thing, the pit's going to open, all this. No! Demonic men are doing this. All right. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. Could this be? Think about it. Yeah. Just think about John and what he saw and how he tried to write down what he saw. It's a prophecy. Revelation is a prophecy. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Prophecy can be progressive. If you receive the prophecy, most people say that. Conditional, even. You can buy into the lie, we're all going to hell in a handbasket. Or we can say, oh, heck no. We'll take dominion here. We're supposed to be ruling and reigning here. We're the only ones who can. If you want to go down that antichrist and don't have no food, don't have nothing, you just go down that road. But I don't believe you have to. We as the church must take the devil out wherever we see him at work. His plan can be thwarted. It is not set in stone. See, most Christians believe that. That's why they're sitting on their suitcases waiting for an out. Because they feel like, well, we can't do nothing about it. We've always been able. We've got dominion. The book of Revelation is a prophecy, is subject to change. This is Satan's big lie that we can't do anything about it. This is why the church is waiting for an escape. We have dominion. And we can take dominion. I have to agree with Gene on this one. I don't agree with Gene on a lot of things. But I do believe you decide your timeline. You decide you're going to walk in all God has for you and take dominion, and or you're not. You set your future. Hasn't it always been that way with God? Hasn't he always given you the option to do what you want to do? You can sit around and feel sorry for yourself and do everything in the world to get away from where you're at and what you're dealing with. Or you can take dominion and say, no, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to act like I don't have a problem or a care in the world. That decision is up to you. It's not set in stone. From the very beginning, he said, Adam, what do you want to call these animals? Jesus said, speak to your mountain. Anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. He's given the earth to man. If you want to buy into the other, that's your prerogative, but I refuse to. And I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. There ain't going to be no Antichrist in my future. He's going in the pit, and then he's going in the lake of fire, as far as I'm concerned, or whatever they're going to do to him. But I want him off my land, out of my country, my city, my house, my everything. But that decision is, we have to personally make ourselves. We can't sit around and feel sorry for ourselves how bad it is, can we? Not when we can stand up and say, no. Every time I hear them talking about that, not having this and that, I say, we're preparing for plenty here. We've sown 100-fold in famine. We're reaping 100-fold in heaven. I will not take that narrative. It's all a lie. It's all a false narrative. Don't believe it. That's all I got to say about that.